director of curriculum and access and
sure
she can tell yes. So without any further introduction, here is Sharon Sachs.
Hi everybody.
Better microphone.
First I want to thank you all for inviting me.
Maybe you can get closer to the microphone.
Okay. I'm the director of curriculum assessment and staff development. That's a lot of different names for someone who's really in charge of the whole outreach program at the School for the Blind. I supervise the low vision program, the assessment program, the orientation mobility program, the assistive technology program, the school psychologists. The school is doing extremely well, and you can ask me questions about that later. But today I'm here because Steve asked me to talk about the Braille Challenge. And this year, CSB hosted the Braille Challenge. It is a collaborative effort, and I'd like to talk about the national part of the Braille Challenge first so you get an idea of what it's all about. The Braille Challenge has been around for 13 years. It's the brainchild of Dr. Kay Holbrook and Jamie Blum at the American Printing House for the Blind. They wanted to develop a national competition that was academically based to really highlight the use of Braille and to get kids really involved in the use of Braille in a competitive manner. It's sort of like, I don't know, when most of you grew up with the College Bowl, sort of like that. It's kind of like that for blind kids. And so it's very, very exciting. The Braille Challenge is sponsored by the Braille Institute of America in Los Angeles and many other national organizations. It's in its 13th year, and over 1,000 students have participated in the Braille Challenge from the U.S. and Canada. So it has a national base, but then there is a regional base. Students can take the exams, which I will talk about in a minute, individually with their teacher of the visually impaired, or they can go to a regional competition. And so in Northern California, we have had a regional competition for probably the past 10 years. And that regional competition has been co-sponsored by the California School for the Blind, the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and at times the Sacramento Society for the Blind. So this year, the sponsoring agencies were the Lighthouse, CSB, and Vista Center. And we had the help and support of the National Federation of the Blind of California, and the California Council of the Blind, and Junior Blind of America. And I want to especially thank the Silicon Valley chapter of CCB, who gave us a generous donation to support the Braille Challenge. And I'll explain how we used our money. And some people, you're absolutely right. Lots of people, actually. So the way the Braille Challenge is organized is there are five different groups of kids. Apprentice are first and second grade students. Freshmen are third and fourth grade students. Sophomore are fifth and sixth grade students. Varsity are seventh, eighth, and ninth grade students. And varsity are 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students. There are five different tests that the students take and they prepare for. There are practice tests that they take ahead of time, and they're supposed to work with their teacher of the visually impaired to really hone their skills and develop their skills. So let me just tell you what the different tests are. and then kind of explain each one. There's spelling, and that is just for apprentice and freshmen. Then there is reading comprehension. There is proofreading, charts and graphs, and speed and accuracy. And I think I have all of them. So for the youngest children, the apprentice and freshman, they do the spelling, the reading comprehension. I'm sorry, and I left out proofreading. Okay, so in spelling, they're given a list of words. Someone dictates a list of words. They transcribe those words in Braille. They can do it contracted or uncontracted. They get points for correct spelling, and they get more points for the use of contractions. So first and second grade kids are just learning Braille and learning all their contractions. The next group of students, for sophomores, not only are they're not doing spelling, but they're doing proofreading, reading comprehension, charts and graphs, and I'm missing one. Let me think. Reading comprehension, proofreading, charts and graphs. That might be what they do. No, that's later. Okay, then for junior varsity and varsity, they're doing reading comprehension, charts and graphs, proofreading, speed and accuracy. And with speed and accuracy, what happens is that they have a Victor Stream or a Bookport Plus, and there's an SD card that has two or three passages. And they listen to the passage, and as quickly as they can, they transcribe it. And again, they are graded on their accuracy, the use of contractions, no errors. For reading comprehension, all the students are given reading passages. They read them, and then they answer multiple choice questions about the passage. For proofreading, they read passages, and then they are given a multiple choice question about what the mistake would be in that proofreading. Okay, so they're looking for Braille errors or punctuation errors. In charts and graphs, they are asked to look at a graph, and then they are asked to answer questions about it. So it's highly competitive. What happens is, on the day of the event, the students come, and we have an opening ceremonies, and they march in, and each student is introduced, and this happens at the National as well. And then there is a keynote speaker who gets the students all excited about Braille and the day, and the students go to various classrooms, and they start taking the exams. And they do two exams in the morning and two exams in the afternoon, and they're about 45 minutes in duration. While the students are taking the exams, the parents are engaged in a variety of workshops. This year we had workshops on transition and post-secondary planning after school, and then we had one on the use of eye devices, so using iPhones, iPads, that kind of technology. As the students are taking the test, we have a group of individuals, volunteers from CCB, teachers, anyone who knows Braille, in a scoring room, and they are scoring the students' tests. This is on the regional level. At the end of the day, and we provide lunch, and then the top scorers get prizes, and the kids are very excited. So each student got a certificate that was in Braille and print, got a medal that said Read to Succeed in Braille, and then first, second, and third place winners got, first place winner of varsity got an iPad this year. But we also gave out Victor Streams, we gave out Bookport Pluses, We gave out gift certificates to National Braille Press. We gave out gift certificates to Seedlings. We had games, computer games from APH that we gave the kids. And so almost all the students left the day with a certificate, a medal, and a great prize. But what was very exciting was how excited the kids were and how proud they were of their accomplishments. Some of the kids just, you know, were doing uncontracted Braille, but they still got to compete. Some students have been doing this for many, many years, and they're experts, and they just are, you know, they love it, and they love the competition. So what happens is we send all the rankings, all the scores into the Braille Institute. The Braille Institute takes all the scores from all the kids who have participated on a regional level, and they choose the top 12 students throughout the U.S. and Canada for each age group. And then those students come to Los Angeles in June for the National Braille Competition. And it's held at the Universal Hilton, Studios Hilton, and it is a big deal. And the kids go through the same thing again, except I believe the tests more complex and they're harder. And then the students who win first, second, or third get savings bonds. They get, I believe, Braille notes and packmates and all kinds of wonderful pieces of technology. And I believe that last time, each first, second, and third place winner got an iPad as well. So that's sort of the what the Braille Challenge is like and all about. I think it has some great residual kinds of experiences for our students. And that is that our students are put in a situation where they are really competing against one another. And often that doesn't happen for blind kids. And they are really working on their social skills and social abilities. You know, they have to keep it together to do all these tests all day long. And they engage with kids that they've never met before. And for some of them, they're away from their parents while they're doing the tests. And that's kind of scary for some of the kids. For some of the students, it's the first time, especially at the regional level, that they have used Bookport Plus or Victor Stream, which we found out this year, that the students didn't have a lot of training on those devices, and it surprised us. So I gave that as a recommendation to the Braille Institute that teachers for students with visual impairments really need to work with their kids on learning how to use these devices before they compete. So that is the Braille Challenge. Questions? Yes.
I'm going to hand the mic over to anyone who wishes to just say who you are and add a question. Thank you.
Sharon, first of all, this is Connie Bateman. You knew me as Connie Chin.
Yes.
At San Francisco State University. I was one of your students in the ophthalmology class. I don't know if you remember me.
I do.
It's a blast from your past. Anyway, what kind of volunteers are needed for Braille Challenge? I learned Braille late in life, like when I was a young adult, and so I've always hesitated to volunteer because I don't read that fast. I write a lot faster than I read, and I'm always afraid that if I go, I'm going to, like, slow everything down. So I was just wondering, like, what kind of volunteers are needed for Braille Challenge?
You know, I think in the scoring room, first of all, the way we organized it this year, we had people working in pairs. So one person was reading the Braille. The other person was putting the information to score sheet. You know, kids who are doing first, second grade, third, fourth, you know, those two apprentice freshman levels are pretty basic Braille. So I don't think you'd have a problem with that. So I guess what I'm saying is that you could volunteer to be a scorer. And that would be a great, that would be great. The other thing is volunteering to be a proctor in a classroom. We had two or three teachers in a classroom with the students while administering the exams. Yes, and also working with the parents. A lot of the teachers who had kids who participated were there. So it was very nice for them to engage with the parents and the teachers together. I think yes. Next year the Braille Challenge will be hosted by the Lighthouse. It rotates.
Yeah. I have a question. My name is Debbie.
Yes.
Barry, I wish we had had this when I was in school.
It is amazing.
You know,
it
back
is
in
just,
the days.
I cannot, I went to the Braille Challenge last year in Los Angeles, and it's unbelievable to watch the kids and the families. I mean, you think ours is kind of relaxed and fun. This is the one in Los Angeles is pretty high pressure. The kids are very intense and very competitive, and the parents are just as intense and competitive.
Yep.
But they love it. So
yeah. Well, the question is, these poor kids. I mean, that maybe hadn't used the Victor stream before, mm-hmm. and here they're in this high pressure situation, and they have to use it. In order to perform on the test, was there any training? Were they given some help beforehand?
Yes. What we did is we did train the kids beforehand. We did about 30 minutes worth of training before we actually gave them the opportunity to use it.
What pressure.
But you know what? They didn't know that they were doing poorly or not poorly. They did the best they could do, and they had no clue that it was bad or good, So to them, it was fine, and it was a good experience. I'm just saying that I think that we need to alert teachers to start working with kids and using those pieces of equipment so when they get to the competition, they feel more comfortable using it.
Now, is there a questionnaire that they have to fill out? I mean, how do you know?
There's a registration form that every child and family fills out to participate, and it actually asks if the student has a Victor Stream or Bookport Plus, if they're going to be bringing it to the challenge, and I don't think it asks have they had training or not, but we do ask the question if they're going to bring it and use it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Anybody else? Questions about CSB, as long as I'm here.
I have a question.
Sure, Kathy. Hi.
Hi.
I have a comment question. A long time I was on the California Advisory Committee out at the school. CCB has a member on there or members, and so does NFPC. And Sharon, all those things that she talked to you about that she is in charge of, she has to come to that committee quarterly and report on all that. And I'm wondering if you still have all those things going, then you still have to have those meetings. I'm sure you do.
Yes.
But do you still have to report on all those things? And do you still have what they had that I thought was neat? All the people from people in charge of the dormitories and the counselors down to every teacher of the different types and the personnel all made reports. Are you still having that? Everybody still reporting?
Yep. In fact, we have a CAC Community Advisory Committee meeting this next Thursday. And I just finished my report. So actually what we have to do now is we submit our reports in writing prior to the meeting, and then we talk about what's going on in our different programs at the meeting.
How many children do you have now in the school?
Ooh, we have close to 90 kids. We have really been working hard, and we have lots of referrals for students. It's very interesting. We're getting a lot of kids, younger kids, and students who need more academic support. Jerry Coons is still there. He's one of my staff members. I keep him in line. You're right. We joke back and forth about that.
Sharon, yes. This is Roger Peterson.
Hi, Roger.
And I'm a big Sharon Sachs fan, even though she probably doesn't know it.
I didn't know that. I'm embarrassed.
I'm also a big Stuart Wittgenstein fan.
Yeah.
And a big CSB fan. I want you to know that I'm not real happy with the way it worked out when I came up. I wasn't a big fan of the school for the Idaho School for the Deaf and Blind, which I attended. And, I've really changed my attitude towards schools for the blind since I've been around folks like you and people who are competent. I've actually tried to apply to have different parents, too. I'm on a mail list that is around Leber's congenital amaurosis, which is mm-hmm. this condition that I have. And there are a lot of parents on there, and I tell them, can I start over and have you as mother? There are some really, really heavy-duty advocates. They call them the moms from hell.
Yeah.
That learn Braille and know what their kids are doing and stuff. And that was really totally different from my experience growing up. But, of course, that was centuries ago.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to
thank you so much. I wanted to let you all know, we just started, because of our 150th, we started an education foundation. And so we're able to really use funds to do some very interesting and fun projects. And hopefully we'll be able to expand and we'll have more money to use in the state if the budget ever gets better. But we're hoping that. And we have a great staff, a wonderful staff of teachers and excellent students. And our expectations are really high, really high. Yes. So we do have Parents and Friends organization, which is like our PTA, and we're always looking for more people to help with Parents and Friends. They do fundraising for the school. They're the ones who sell the T-shirts, and they're out there during our spring concert. They sponsored a snow day for our students where we truck in about 5 tons of snow, and we have a student teacher from Northern Illinois University who's an orientation and mobility intern. And when we were telling her we were going to have a snow day, and she saw the snow, she kind of laughed at us because, they have lots of snow in Illinois. Yeah. But the kids love that. The Parents and Friends organization helps to sponsor students to go to karate tournaments, goalball tournaments. Helps with individual classroom projects, purchasing something that we can't necessarily get through the state. So that's our Parents and Friends. And then the Rocket Shop is our on-campus, it's like a vending stand. And it was modeled after a vending stand program. And it's part of our transition program. All of our students work in the Rocket Shop, or our transition age students. They stock, they ring people up the cash register, they help folks when they come through. It's not a place where kids can go. It's only for adults and faculty and people from the Diagnostic Center or the School for the Deaf or gardeners or janitors or parents who come through, and there's coffee, there's Danish, there's soft drinks, we have a soft serve machine, they bring in Chipotle once a week and everybody comes and buys that. Then we have all these little what I call boutique businesses from our different classes on campus. We have the Good Dog Bakery. They make organic dog biscuits. We have another class that is Bakery 574, and they make homemade rolls and pizza every week for people to purchase. And then we have another group that makes boutique almonds. They do chocolate-covered almonds, rosemary-covered almonds, toffee almonds. And then another group of kids made, like, jars of marmalade and were selling them in the rocket shop. So a lot of entrepreneurs, and it's a good way to get our students to engage with the public. And we still have the fortune cookies. Yes, we have the CSB Fortune Cookie Company, Lucky Touch Fortune Cookie. Yes, Braille fortunes, and the best are the chocolate dip fortunes. So we're moving along. You know, there are always new things we can do. We can be very creative. We loved doing the Braille Challenge. It was a huge success. We had 20 kids this year from all over the Bay Area, and we'll do it again in 3 years. It's a tremendous amount of work. And also, just to let you know, Alice McGrath from Vista Center is now on the National Advisory Board for the Braille Challenge. So we have a representative from Northern California. Okay. So I think that's it, unless anyone has any. Yes, she is. Yes.
The transitional age, is that high school?
Transition age is age 16 to age 22. So students can be at CSB from age 5 to through their 21st year. Right. Well, the law, IDEA, said transition begins at age 14, but really rehab, Department of Rehab, starts services at age 16, sometimes even later than that. We want to get students, you know, in as early as possible.
I really want to thanks, Sharon. It's nice to meet you in person.
Thank
now
you.
That
we've talked online.
sent emails back and forth and a couple of conversations on the right. phone, and it's really been a pleasure. And thank you very much
thank
for
you.
A wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
And hope to have you back sometime. You're always welcome.
Thank anyway. You so much.